KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull. A long-standing argument over funding for law enforcement on Northwest Montana's Flathead Reservation is over for now. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports Governor Greg Gianforte has signed off on funding to help county and tribal officials hash out a long-term plan.
For years, Lake County and Governor Gianforte have sparred over who's financially responsible for prosecuting tribal members for felonies on the Flathead Reservation. Lake County has historically done that work under an agreement known as Public Law 280, but the county says it can no longer afford that service. Both the county and the state had planned to leave the agreement. That would mean federal law enforcement would take over, but federal officials have said they don't have the resources. This session, county, state, and Confederated Salish and Kootenai officials hashed out a plan. The state is providing $6 million over the next 2 years to help transition more cases to tribal courts. CSKT spokesperson Rob McDonald says some of that work has already started.
We have, in the past 18 months or so, taken on more than 150 felonies and increased our efforts to reduce the workload on the county.
But Lake County is expected to continue handling more serious felonies that require prison time. The CSKT and Lake County are required under the new law to hash out an agreement laying out the balance of cases each will take on. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
This month has seen many awareness events across Indian country for missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and people. This included an event in Gresham, Oregon, organized by MMIW Search and Hope Alliance. Honor songs were sung with dancing. And people affected by the murders or disappearances of Native people shared their stories before an audience.
It was January 9th, 2024.
Kim Lenning is founder of MMIW Search and Hope Alliance. She says there was power in what people shared about their missing or murdered relatives.
The power lies in experience. So many times people say they understand, but sometimes they don't. And they don't understand because they haven't seen it firsthand from experience. So when you bring in surviving family members that are still searching for their loved ones, it brings a different environment of emotion to the audience that's listening.
While many cases remain unsolved, one outcome brought relief. Luann Aiken, a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians of North Dakota, was found alive on May 10th in Portland, Oregon, after a two-year disappearance. Lenning says she verified it was Aiken, then contacted her relatives.
A lot of tears, a lot of relieved emotions, and some sadness because of the situation. She'd been missing for so long. We did offer them help if they needed help to come out and take Luann home if Luann chose to go home. We're just letting them as a family kind of figure that out. And if they so choose to take us up on that, then we have offered them to bring them out here so that they can travel as a family back home to North Dakota.
Lenning says her organization will hit its one-year anniversary in July. She says the celebration will focus on volunteers who keep things going. Lenning says while MMIW Search and Hope Alliance is largely a regional effort, they try to help with national cases. This includes the Oklahoma City case of Seneca Shimeme, whose family says he was killed in a deliberate hit and run last October. Missing and murdered Indigenous events will continue through May. Those who want to get involved can contact their tribes or look up community calendars. You're listening to National Native News. I'm Brian Bull.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the American Indian College Fund, providing millions of dollars of scholarships to Native students every year. Applications are accepted through May 31st at collegefund.org or by phone at 800-766-FUND. Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska. Sanofsky Chambers Law.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
It hurts my heart so much to think of these high school boys who could, at the drop of a hat, get deported.
Delta Junction's Ukrainian immigrants hope for a legal means to remain in the United States. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Wednesday, May 21st. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, a recap of what lawmakers accomplished during the legislative session.
We're investing more in education, we're investing less in prisons. That's where we should be going as a state.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska Pacific University's Master's in Outdoor and Environmental Education prepares you to create lasting change. In 2 years, you can earn your degree, gain hands-on experience, and graduate with no tuition debt. Study with expert faculty and leaders in outdoor recreation, place-based education, and community tourism. Learn more at OutdoorEducationAlaska.com or text 907-982-3122. This message sponsored by APU.
Alaska lawmakers finished up their four-month session yesterday. That's a day ahead of schedule. Lawmakers passed a budget with a $1,000 permanent fund dividend, and they overrode a veto to raise long-term funding for public schools. Here to wrap up the legislative session and catch us up on what we might have missed is Alaska Public Media's Capitol correspondent, Eric Stone. Eric, give us the rundown. What did lawmakers do during their 120 days in Juneau this session?
Well, Casey, they did a lot. Let me take a look here. They passed a total of 33 bills. Some of them you've heard a lot about already, but they're worth mentioning again just briefly. First of all, the budget, as you mentioned, it's a pretty skinny budget. There's a $1,000 dividend. That is the lowest inflation-adjusted dividend in state history. There's also like $300 million plus less general purpose spending than last year. Most of that, you know, was made necessary because of a sharp drop-off in oil prices, and it also doesn't look like they'll get any better anytime soon. But lawmakers did add some money in a few targeted areas like childcare, infant learning programs, senior centers, mental health, a couple others. Here's Representative Andy Josephson. He's an Anchorage Democrat and also the head budgeter in the House.
Some of these investments are not enormous, but they have vast benefits downstream. And that's why we think they're warranted.
Public schools are a big one here. Lawmakers overrode a veto from Governor Mike Dunleavy to add somewhere around $180 million to long-term state education spending. That was a long-time goal, and I've talked a lot about it this session, so I won't get into it too much here, other than to say that it's actually the first time lawmakers have overridden a veto since 2009. So education is the only major area with big increases, and there are some significant cuts to some other state spending, like the Department of Corrections, like the closure of a portion of the Spring Creek Correctional Center, which saves $7.5 million. Here's Representative Zach Fields. He's an Anchorage Democrat.
So yeah, we're investing more in education, we're investing less in prisons. That's where we should be going as a state.
Lawmakers came into the session with hundreds of millions of dollars in red ink. The governor's budget itself was $1.5 billion underwater. That wound up growing to somewhere around $2 billion underwater after adjustments. They weren't able to close the whole gap. They wound up proposing a $200 million draw from the main savings account, but that failed the required supermajority vote. Republicans said there that, you know, they were concerned about the draw and that majorities hadn't negotiated with them to win their votes. So money to fill that gap will for now come from the State Investment Agency and a scholarship fund. Of course, lawmakers could come back next year and put the money back in those funds.
So those are the big ones, but there were dozens of other bills that passed this year. What else stands out to you?
Oh, man, where to start? There were some really interesting ones. One bill that passed this year would let prisoners access tablets, you know, like iPads. That's for things like classes, telehealth appointments, even, you know, like virtual visits, you know, when people can't travel long distances to see their friends or family in prison. You know, it also helps prisoners get familiar with today's very online, electronics-heavy world. Senator Rob Myers, he's a Fairbanks Republican. He sponsored one version of that, not the version that passed, but a very similar one. Here's what he had to say.
I think it can be a significant influence both to help lower our recidivism rates and to help get some of our costs under control within the prison system.
Another one worth flagging is a change to corporate income taxes. Basically, when Netflix sells a subscription to an Alaskan, this bill would have them count that towards their Alaska corporate income taxes rather than their California taxes. Governor Mike Dunleavy has signaled he might veto that one, though it's the only really significant revenue-raising bill this year. There is another significant tax bill worth talking about, though. It's a bill that would basically look to make the rental car platform Turo and similar car-sharing apps collect rental car taxes. It actually cuts overall rental car taxes, and it would prevent the state from going after people for back taxes up to this point. Dunleavy vetoed a similar bill last year. We'll see if he lets it get through this time. Lawmakers also made a fairly remarkable number of statements and requests to Congress and other, you know, other federal leaders. Those are resolutions. There was a resolution calling for the federal government to keep the name Denali, another that opposes tariffs on Canada and affirms Canada's sovereignty. There's a resolution opposing cuts to Medicaid, the federal state insurance program. And there was another resolution calling for repairs to weather buoys that have gone unmaintained.
Unmaintained weather buoys. Okay, so that's what they got done, but what did they leave on the table?
The elections bill is a big one. So lawmakers in the bipartisan Senate majority have been trying for years to pass a bill that would make a variety of changes to state election laws, like getting rid of witness signatures and speeding up ballot counting, along with cleaning up the state's voter rolls. We have a very transient population. It's actually pretty hard to remove somebody from the list of registered voters automatically, even if you have some evidence that they've moved away. But that one faltered at the last minute, the elections bill. Republicans put up roadblocks saying the election law changes would actually make elections less secure. Rather than fight it out right in the closing days of session, lawmakers are going to try and come back to more of a consensus next year. Another one that was left undone is pensions. Both the House and the Senate majority said before the session that they wanted to pass a bill reinstating a pension system for state employees. A bill passed the House this year that would do that. It didn't make it through the Senate. The bill's chief advocate in the Senate, Republican Anchorage Senator Kathy Geisel, called the bill a two-year project. That and the elections bill will be at the top of the list, I think, for next year.
Okay, that was Alaska Public Media's Capitol correspondent Eric Stone. Eric, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
More than 100 Ukrainians have settled in Delta Junction since Russia invaded their country 3 years ago. But it's unclear if they have a future in the community since several programs supporting their stay in the U.S. were suspended earlier this year. The Alaska Desk's Alyona Nyden brings us the first in a two-part series looking at how some Ukrainians are leaning on their faith to get through the uncertain times.
The Butenko family gathers in their Delta Junction home and prays before eating. Smoked salmon from Chitna River, potatoes from the garden, homemade bread, and Ukrainian-style shish kebab. Those are just a few dishes set on the table. Alexei and Natalia Butenko and their seven children moved from Ukraine almost 3 years ago, escaping the war. Natalia says they came to Delta Junction to join relatives. She says they were flying directly here, knowing exactly where they will stay and what church they will join. Since the war started, roughly 120 Ukrainians have settled in the Delta Junction area. The place already had deep Slavic roots before that, with Ukrainians making up a much larger share of the population than in the rest of the state. Many of the newcomers, including the Butenko family, used the United for Ukraine program, which allowed them to come to the U.S. with the help from a local sponsor. The program stopped accepting new applicants in January, following an order from President Trump. The Butenko family still has more than a year to stay here through that program. 18-year-old Agnesa Butenko is the oldest daughter in the family. She says the people and their hospitality is why she likes it here. She says that people here are extremely kind and accept others despite the differences in language and culture. At dinner, Agnesa mostly speaks Russian. But in her 3 years in the U.S., she has improved her English from a beginner level and now works as a translator at the school. She helps other Ukrainians, often her family members, adjust to the new language and environment. Overall, about 30 Ukrainian students started school in Delta in recent years. The school district has been expanding support for them, offering ESL classes, translation services, and after-hours tutoring. Longtime English teacher Amanda Turnbull has been witnessing rapid growth in her Ukrainian students.
I feel so honored to have worked with Agnesa, so honored to have worked with these kids. It is difficult, it is challenging, but it's amazing.
Turnbull says if the families of her Ukrainian students don't have a legal pathway to stay in the country, her whole ESL class of 10 would be empty. She says the loss would create a hole in the community and could endanger some of her students.
It hurts my heart so much to think of these high school boys who could, at the drop of a hat, get deported and end up back in Ukraine. They can't leave again. These ninth graders can't leave again. What's going to happen to them? They're going to get conscripted?
Natalia Butenko says she won't go back to Ukraine even if the family has to move away from the U.S. She doesn't want her children to go to war. The family doesn't know what the future holds, but they believe everything is in God's hands. Natalia says God blesses their day-to-day, and they thank him for that. Tomorrow, they will ask for his blessing again. In the meantime, the Butenko family is continuing to learn what Alaska has to offer.
Айда!
Like riding four-wheelers and dirt bikes together, and fall in love with the place they call home. The family recently bought a piece of land to build their future home in Delta. Two stories, just like the one they left in Ukraine. In Delta Junction, with reporting help from Shelby Herbert, I am Alona Naiden.
That was the first in a two-part series from the Alaska Desk about the Ukrainian community in Delta Junction. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, a major in the Alaska Army National Guard designed an Arctic rescue system for the battlefield and beyond.
If we had a bubble of warmth and we could keep key medical supplies from freezing, then we could do medical care the way we've been doing it in Afghanistan for the last 20 years.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
If domestic violence has touched your life, know that you are not alone. You have the power to break free and build a future filled with love and respect. There's hope and help waiting for you. For free and confidential support, visit notaloneak.org to speak to someone who's trained to help. Every Alaskan deserves to feel safe. This message sponsored by the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
A series of large fraudulent cash withdrawals made with fake military IDs and passports at banks from Wasilla to the Kenai Peninsula have landed a man and woman in jail. That's according to federal bank fraud and identity theft charges filed Friday against 25-year-old Kerry McLeish and 45-year-old Rebecca Walker. Walker had apparently flown from Texas to Alaska, and McLeish had a Texas driver's license when he was arrested, according to the charges. The scheme allegedly took place in mid-April and involved McLeish driving Walker in a rented orange SUV to various South Central Alaska credit unions, including in Wasilla, Eagle River, Anchorage, Soldotna, and Kenai. The charges say that at least three times Walker withdrew cash from bank accounts, $9,500 each time, using fake identification with the real account holder's name but Walker's photo. According to the charges, a bank employee in Soldotna recognized Walker's photo from an internal fraud alert as she was trying to open a line of credit in someone else's name. The charges say police later found Walker and McLeish in the rented orange SUV, which led them to the pair's Soldotna hotel room, where they found 11 military ID cards and 11 passports, all with different people's names and Walker's photo on them. As of today, Walker and McLeish remained jailed at the Wildwood Correctional Complex in Kenai. Court records did not show attorneys listed for either of them. Getting injured in cold weather is especially risky. And in remote environments, it might take a long time to get someone who's injured to warmth. So a major in the Alaska Army National Guard has been spending the last few years developing a new rescue technology for the cold. And as Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, it has the potential to change rescue for both service members and civilians.
On a snow-covered field on Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage, Army Major Titus Rund climbs into an inflatable sled.
I'm gonna get in.
It looks kind of like someone combined an inflatable raft and a tent to make a covered sled.
Basically, on the worst day of my life, I can sit upright, I can be situationally aware.
Rund, the inventor, has been working for more than 2 years on the design. In the back. A medical resident working with him, Dr. Trevor Scott, straps the sled to his waist and does a few laps on the field.
Yes, it's just basically like the belt system of a backpack, basically. Kind of a little harness.
Rund says a major point of this system is to keep injured service members warm.
If you become hypothermic, your chance of dying goes up.
Rund says he'd long advocated for better ways to manage hypothermia when an injured person is evacuated, because it's such a big factor in survival. His inspiration came from knowing people died even during desert warfare when their core temperatures dropped. He thought, if we can't do this right in the desert, how are we going to do it in the cold and snow? He was also influenced by a Department of Defense assessment that identified challenges to providing medical care in extreme cold. He designed the sled to dock into a heated medic shelter.
What it distilled down to was if we had a bubble of warmth and we could keep key medical supplies from freezing, then we could do medical care the way we've been doing it in Afghanistan and Iraq and Africa for the last 20 years.
There's a lot working against people who get injured outside in the cold. Besides the temperature, it may be wet. Safety and treatment are often a long way away. Rescue gear and supplies need to pack up small for transport and be light and easy to use. And the system needs to be fast to get the patient to treatment quickly. Rund wants to address all those challenges with the Casavac Arctic Rescue System. The goal is to eventually allow it to be used far beyond the military, for civilian rescue too. Rund's design keeps a patient insulated from the wet and cold, their torso elevated, and has its own heating element. It's also light and easy to move. The sled slides flat under an injured person. He says it inflates and is ready to move in 10 to 30 seconds.
It was about how quickly can we move a casualty and get them out of the environment.
Rund is a flight surgeon and has been developing the system with military funding. The United States has fought its most recent wars in warm environments. But Rund says he thinks the war in Ukraine brought attention to the challenges of conflict in colder environments.
As a standing military who has to provide deterrence and the capability to do whatever our nation calls us to do, cold is definitely a part of that, whether that's defending the homeland or going wherever we are called to partner with our allies to prosecute the mission that we are sent to do.
Rund has tested three generations of his rescue system. Medics tested the system during a special operations exercise in Fairbanks in February. And Rund has gotten feedback on the design from military and civilian experts, like Emily Johnston. She's a physician based in Washington who teaches cold weather medical operations and rescue courses for the military. She says Rund's sled will level up cold weather rescue teams, whether that's on a battlefield in Siberia or a glacier in Alaska.
No question about it. It is leaps and bounds ahead of most of the rescue sleds that we use right now.
Johnston has suggested improvements for Rund's technology as he's been developing it. She says the current best practices for cold weather wilderness rescue haven't changed much in recent years. She says rescuers bundle the patient in blankets and a tarp and strap them to a plastic sled.
The cold transfers through the sled, and so that's sort of an added thermal problem that you're fighting. In this case, the actual evacuation sled insulates the patient, and it's a huge addition. It will help significantly in long evacs, particularly because it's just so hard to keep the patient warm in those situations.
She says even in warmer environments, people with traumatic injuries can get hypothermia, and it worsens their chance of survival. Rund has filed for a patent for the system, and he says the military and its allies may be able to start ordering the technology as soon as next year. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Northern Air Cargo, providing cargo transportation to 9 Alaska communities. NAC offers options including cargo charters to get freight where it needs to be. Northern Air Cargo, serving Alaska since 1956.
Don't wait 24 hours to report a missing person. As soon as you suspect someone is missing, call your local law enforcement or 911 to make a report. Be ready to provide as much descriptive information as possible to help locate your friend, family member, or loved one. Your reporting can make all the difference, and maybe even save a life. Learn more about Alaska's Village Public Safety Officers at vpso.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Village Public Safety Officer Program.
Haines tourism season is revving up yet again, but this time there's a new operator in town. A local tribe has launched a new tourism effort that's been in the making for a decade. The Chilkoot Indian Association is banking on the venture for an economic boost, particularly amid federal funding cuts by the Trump administration. And as Avery Elfelt reports for the Alaska Desk, it's also an opportunity to remind visitors of the area's native traditions.
It's Friday night and people are packed into a wood-paneled building that sits on a dock overlooking the Lynn Canal. A local performance group, the Chilkat Dancers, performs a Tlingit song and dance while the crowd looks on. For years, the space sat empty, but now the building has become the center of a sweeping effort by the Chilkoot Indian Association to launch a tourism brand to bring in extra dollars. Harriet Brulette is a tribal administrator. She addressed the crowd at an event marking the launch of the new business venture, which is called Discover Deshu.
So happy that we have reached this point. I mean, it's taken us 10 years. But I would like to say thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here to support us in our next step towards sovereignty. Thank you.
Deshu is the traditional name of the Haines town site and has a dual significance. It means both the beginning of the trail and the end of the trail, and a nod to the trade routes that Alaska Natives have used for millennia to transport goods from the coast to the interior, and then the other way around. James Kuchish Hart is the tribal council president.
You know, what a beacon of hope. I feel like we have this opportunity to really grow and create something of our own. And
he says Discover Deshu has been in the works for years and has a range of components. The venture includes the dock itself, where the restaurant now sits. It's been used as a port by a private ferry for the last several years, and cruise ships more recently. There's also an outdoor tour business and gear and apparel store, which the tribe started operating this year. But the restaurant called Taste of Deshu is the centerpiece. The menu features locally sourced ingredients and traditional foods. During the opening night reception, guests queued up in line to order. On the menu, halibut and black cod chowder. And to drink, locally made beverages, including spruce tip soda and chaga root beer. Hart says the plan is to take a similar approach to the entire initiative.
My hope and my goal is that we, indigenize it into a way that it seems relevant for us, and we're able to share, our way of thinking.
Hart says it's part of a much bigger effort that also aligned with the Chilkoot Indian Association's desire to rely less heavily on the federal government. That's especially the case, he says, given the Trump administration's efforts to drastically downsize the U.S. government, including by making cuts to funding for tribes and Native organizations.
So here we are in a place and in a time where we can start steering our ship and work towards giving ourselves opportunities to live the way we would like to on our traditional homelands and not have to rely on grants.
Hart says the restaurant's official opening date is still uncertain, but that it won't be long before tourists and locals alike can come to eat. The dock, for its part, has already seen multiple smaller cruise ships this season. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
One of the most important roles in Southeast Alaska Indigenous culture is the uncle. In a matrilineal society, a woman's brother is responsible for the training of her sons in the myriad skills necessary to sustain a community. A new mentoring program from the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is attempting to create that relationship for young men who may not have an actual uncle or who just need support making the transition into adulthood. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
This is something that is quite different from many Western societies. In Tlingit culture, children fall into their mother's moiety, or her clan, as it's often told to visitors wondering about the prevalence of the eagle and raven crests in town. This is why uncles, rather than fathers, take precedence when it comes to cultural education. Joe Zuboff is with the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute.
Within our culture, we always send our younger men off with their uncles to teach them war tactics or finding food and how to preserve food and to learn to share the food that they get within their community in order to teach them to give back so that they have an understanding of what it means to be a part of a community.
Zuboff says the program, called Cultural Warriors, has been in development for a few years, and it's not about recreating the past. Zuboff says it's about the future for young men age 16 to 22.
We want them to succeed in life because we're losing a lot of young men today with other things that's holding them back.
Cultural Warriors will be available beginning this summer in Sitka, Angoon, Haines, Hoonah, Heidelberg, Juneau, Cake, and Klukwan. Uncles have already stepped forward in each of those communities. Robert Miller is the uncle in Sitka.
It's not a job. It's just being a good person and trying to help people. That's how I look at it. Had some experiences that if I can help other young men avoid that, that would feel like a big win.
Miller is well known in Sitka as a seal and sea otter hunter who tans and sews hides. But he's adept in deer hunting and fishing too, and just about every other facet of surviving and thriving in Southeast Alaska. Sea Alaska Heritage did not have to work very hard to persuade him to lend a hand to help the region's young men.
I think I'm just going to try to pour my heart and soul into it and try to show them a path that maybe is a path they weren't going down before, you know.
Sea Alaska Heritage is hoping for 8 applicants for the 2 open slots in each town. Again, the age range is 16 to 22, and applicants do not have to be Tlingit or even Alaska Native. Joe Zuboff says the model is flexible and can be tailored to the goals of the applicant.
We're just looking for those men that aren't sure what they want to do yet. And while they're waiting to figure out what they want to do, we want to get them out there learning how to hunt and fish and preserve the food and feed their elders and their parents and live life.
Robert Miller recently retired from the Forest Service, where he spent considerable time in the field on all types of projects, often supervising an inexperienced seasonal workforce. He's seen what happens when a young person begins to gain competency in the outdoors, and he's eager to help his 2 nephews succeed.
My biggest reward is not finishing the million-dollar fish pass in the middle of nowhere with a crew. The big reward at the end is that the crew can now go on in life with these skills they've learned about how to work hard and how to work as a team and all that stuff. So it's a pretty important thing.
Cultural Warriors pays a stipend to successful applicants and also pays an incentive to those who stay in. The program also fully equips participants with all the gear they need to keep up with someone like Robert Miller, which they can keep on the completion of the program. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org and wherever you get your podcasts. We had reports tonight from Eric Stone in Juneau, Aliona Niden in Delta Junction, Rachel Cassandra in Anchorage, Avery Elfelt in Haines, and Robert Woolsey in Sitka. Our audio engineer is Chris Hyde, Tim Rocky's our producer, and I'm Casey Grove. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
Princess Lodges, offering glass-domed railcar tours to Talkeetna and Denali National Park for Alaska summer adventures. Your journey begins at princesslodges.com. GCI, keeping schools and students connected across the state with a resilient and redundant network. Details at gci.com/education.
This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media. Thank you.
take it slow, but it's not typical. He already knows that my love is fire. His heart was a stone, but then his hands were on. I turned him to gold and it took him higher. But I'll be a daydream, I'll be your favorite things. We could be beautiful, get drunk on the good life. I'll take you to paradise. Say you'll never let me go. Deep in my bones I can feel you. Take me back to a time only we knew how to wait. Smoke a little weed on the couch in the back room, hide away.
Everything you been running. Is my mind playing tricks on me? Is she one up on me? If I had to testify, I could only say she's the truth. It's like prayers went up and sent me you. Now I wasn't looking, I was fine on my own. Could come and go as I please, nobody questioning me. I don't know when things begin to change. You came and turned all around, got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Your love's not settling, settling on me. Like a kid in a blanket, made it hard for me to leave. And you gave me new love, kind I've never ever seen. And I'm eternally thankful, got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. It's hard for me to picture, I'll be right here with you. Look what I've been missing. You turned it all around. Look what I done found. Back in my own blessing. And if I knew then what I know right now, I would have settled down a long time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if I hadn't met you, where would I be? You got me on bending knee. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I know. Got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I know. Got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. It's hard for me to picture, I've been right here with you. Look what I've been missing.
See, look what I've been missing.
You turned it all around. Look what I done found. Back in my own
business. Yeah, yeah. And if I knew then what I know right now, I would have settled down a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I hadn't met you, where would I be? Saying amen. Amen.
Get jacked up, pumped up, out of control. Gonna be a dogfight when the whistle blows. Got the colors right, all high and tight. Straight up ready to roll. We've been grilling and chilling since 9 o'clock. It's kickoff time, so give them the rock. And this place is gonna explode. From the nosebleed to the 50-yard line, everybody's ready for one heck of a time. So out of back, hey, on the stands, oh, if you're big-time game day football fans, just scream. Down dance in the end zone grass. Let out a howl if you feel like you gotta. If you love your football, then holler, holler back. We've been working all week, waiting on today. Good group, cold suds, watching cheerleaders shake. They're rocking tail feathers in any kind of weather, putting on a show. From the north to the south, east to west, it's an all-out throwdown, prove who's best. It's so let's go. Cause he's dropping back and he's going deep. So everybody out here, just get up on your feet. And
fans just scream, hey, your team, oh, they're big and bad and they're mean. It's a blast, and it's a pass, a touchdown dance in the end zone brass. Let out a howl if you feel like you gotta. If you want some football, then holler, holler, back. Come on, holler back from the stands. If you're big time game day football fans, just scream for your team. They're big and bad and they're mean. It's a blast, it's a pass, a touchdown dance in the end zone grass. Let out a howl if you feel like you gotta. If you want some football, then holler, holler,
homeless. She asked him his name and told him what hers was. He gave her a story about life with a glint in his eye and a corner of a smile. One conversation, a simple moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes. They said I would never make it, but I was built to break the mold. The only dream that I've been chasing is my own. So I sing a song for the hustlers trading at the bus stop. Single mothers waiting on a jet to come. Young teachers, student doctors, sons on the front line knowing they don't get to run. This goes up to the underdog. Keep on keeping at what you love. You'll find that someday, soon enough, you will rise up, rise up, yeah. Taxi back to the kitchen, talking to the driver about his wife and his children. On a run from a country where they put you in prison for being a woman and speaking your mind. She looked in his eyes in the mirror and he smiled. One conversation, a single moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes. They said I would never make it, but I was built to break the mold. The only dream that I've been chasing is my own. So I sing a song for the hustlers trading at the bus stop. Single mothers waiting on a check to come. Young teachers, student doctors, sons on the front line knowing they don't get to run. This goes up to the underdog. Keep on keeping at what you love. You'll find that someday, soon enough, you will rise up, rise up, yeah.
Yeah. this cost, take you and make you off, left you and leave you lost, will you forgive me? Passed out all over town, drags you and keeps you down, 2 dumps in a day around, will you forgive me?
I can't control the feeling, girl, cause I know you hate. I feel you from the floor to the ceiling. Girl, I feel you when you comb your hair. Lady, when we lock it low, we get together, it's an overdose. I'm slipping, I'm here, I'm on my knees. I feel my heart's about to explode.
This is the highest cost. Take you and make you off. Left you and leave you lost. Will you forgive me? Passed out all over town, drags you and keeps you down, 2 dumps in a day around, will you forgive me?
Baby, to tell the truth, when I'm sober, I don't for you. When it's over, I'm overdue. Girl, there's no one as bad as no one as bad.
Welcome to KSDP's Senior Spotlight Special, where we will be showcasing seniors from around the district. This Senior Spotlight Special will be on Sandpoint's Morgan Gunderson. Morgan Gunderson was born February 18, 2007 in Anchorage, Alaska. She is described by her mom as being athletic, strong-willed, ambitious, witty, independent, and beautiful. Most teachers describe Morgan as being a hard-working student. Her favorite memory of high school is when the whole school got to go out and play softball on the field. The best advice she has for a successful high school career is to manage your time well and have fun. Morgan would like to thank the entire community and her family for supporting her in everything she does. And her plans for after graduation are to go to college and work to receive her bachelor's degree. Morgan Gunderson, we are proud of you. And on behalf of KSDP, congratulations.
Tried playing it cool, but when I'm looking at you, I can't ever be brave, 'cause you make my heart race. Shot me out of the sky, you're my kryptonite, you keep making me weak, yeah, frozen and can't breathe. Something's gotta give now.
got that one thing.
So get out, get out, get out of my head. I'm falling to my arms instead. I don't know what it is, but I need that one thing. You got that one thing. Now I'm climbing the walls, but you don't notice at all that I'm going out of my mind all day and all night. Something's gotta give now, 'cause I'm dying just to know your name. And I need you here with me now, 'cause you've got that one. Get out, get out of my head and fall into my arms instead. So get out, get out, get out.